friends during their time in seminary when they attended North Park Baptist Church in Grand Rapids. One of my joys with Brian is as he was preparing for his ordination council, to be able to give him some practice questions and to listen to his answers and to hear that he had studied the word very well during his time in seminary and was well prepared for that ordination. We did have a little family reunion here in Cadillac the last couple days. My daughter from Pennsylvania has 7 children with the 8th on the way, and they were staying with us for the last 2 weeks. And then we came up to Cadillac where my son-in-law, Andy Brubaker, is the pastor of Temple Hill Baptist Church. Our daughter is his wife. And so we spent time together with the rest of our family. We actually have 4 children. All 4 are married. And I served at Cornerstone University, used to be Grand Rapids Baptist College, for 34 years, and just retired this past summer. And so now we're active at North Park. I do a little bit of preaching at a small church near Grand Rapids. But it's a joy to be with you. When Brian asked if I was available, and I saw that I was thrilled to be able to come. I'd actually talked to Larry High, who's also preached here, and he's a close friend of mine. We serve on the elder board together at North Park. So that's a little bit about us. The sermon text that I've chosen is just a single verse. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And we all know that's true. In our younger years at North Park, we had what we used to call one another groups. And in these groups, we had 4 or 5 couples, sometimes a single person or two. And we would meet regularly, sometimes weekly, sometimes every other week. And it was for the purpose of spiritual encouragement, accountability, Bible study, prayer. We did this together. Occasionally, though, we would do some kind of a service project or just have a social time together, just get together and have some fun. Well, I want to tell you quickly about one unusual experience we had as a one another group. We were at that time in our early 30s. We had a variety of ages of people in our group. And the year was 1989. So we were very young at that point. Our group agreed that we would serve a couple in our church who needed their leaves to be raked. They were both about 60 years of age. At that time, I thought they were very old. Over time, I've learned how mistaken I really was. I was really wrong about that. Their names were Wally and Edna. And I did not know them very well, but I had seen them at church on occasion. He was a slender man, even seemed a little bit frail. And she was a larger woman. So they had a difficult time caring for their yard. And so we made a plan that we would all bring our rakes and our bags and everything and go to their house on a Friday night at 5 o'clock. We would take care of the leaves. And then after we got the leaves taken care of, we would go back to our house and we would have pizza together. So it was kind of a combination project and a little bit of fun time. As we're working the yard, Edna came home from work. Now, when we got there, we didn't see any car, so we just started raking. We'd said 5 o'clock. She came home, she kind of waved, said a word of thank you, and went in the house. Well, about 90 seconds later, she came back out of the house, and she walked over to myself and another man who was raking and asked us, could you come into the house for a minute and check? I think Wally's dead. And so we did. And sure enough, Wally had passed away during that day. As I recall, he was lying on a couch in the living room. The television was still on. And there he was. And I tell you that story to introduce the truth of the verse I want to talk about today. We do not know what a day will bring forth. I want to consider this proverb from the standpoint of Wally, from the standpoint of Edna, and then from the standpoint of our one another group. Because I think there's something for us, from each of those three perspectives that will benefit us today. Do not boast about it tomorrow. You do not know what a day may bring forth. We find a great expansion or illustration of this brief verse in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Now, I have that passage in your notes. If you didn't get notes, you might want to grab one if you care to. But let me just read that passage. As I say, I think an expansion of Proverbs 27:1. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. I want to talk first about what I think the verse means before we actually look at some of the topics that I have for our study this morning. First, what it does not mean. It does not mean that it is wrong to plan. It does not mean that it is wrong to plan. Other passages in Proverbs, in fact, encourage us to plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Proverbs 24, verse 6, surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors. So make plans in order to be successful, whether in business or in battle. There's wisdom in planning. So when is it wrong to make plans? Well, it is wrong when God is left out of the picture. James 4:15 says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. When a person boasts about tomorrow, he is doing the opposite of James 4:15. So now a couple things that I think the verse does mean. It does mean that we should not take life for granted. We should not take life for granted. The circumstances of our lives can change immediately. So don't assume that things will always be as they have always been. Don't boast about tomorrow. And I could even go further and say, don't assume that you will have a tomorrow. The second thing I think is that we should not be overly confident. We should not be overly confident about what achievements or benefits will come into our life each day. We tend to live as if life is under our own control. Life is not under our control. Life is in God's control. James warns his readers about the same thing as our verse, but expands on it considerably. He says, don't boast about tomorrow, and makes a specific application to business. We will go to this city, it says. We'll spend a year there. We'll carry on business, and we'll make money. They've determined where they will go, how long they will stay, and what they will gain. Later in verse 16, James calls these arrogant schemes and says they're evil. Again, they left God out of their plans. They were arrogant schemes. Well, with that in mind, I'd like to share three perspectives about this verse. Three perspectives about this verse. The first perspective we need to talk about is that any day may bring forth death. Any day may bring forth death. So I want to talk about October 29th, 1989, first from Wally's perspective. We do not know how long we have. Wally was weak, but he was hardly an old man. And surely, if they had had any suspicion that that day would be his last day, Ed would not have gone to work, and the family would have been called in. The story reminds us that life is brief, and life is uncertain. At various places in Scripture, our lives compared to different things, like a fading flower, or a weaver's shuttle, or grass that fades, or the cloud that vanishes. It is brief, and it can disappear quickly. One of the pictures is a shadow. When the sun is suddenly blocked by a cloud, the shadow of man on earth immediately disappears. And so it is with our lives. We do not know how much time we have. Engraved on a tombstone in a cemetery were these words: "Hey reader, stop and think. I'm in eternity, you're on the brink." And how true that really is. Think about some Bible characters about whom this was certainly true. In the days of Noah, Luke says, people were eating, drinking, and marrying, being given in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. Luke 17:27. They did not know what that day would bring forth. Abner had been the commander of King Saul's army. And in 2 Samuel 3, after Saul's death, he says, may God deal with Abner, be it ever so severely, if I do not do for David what the Lord promised him on oath, and transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and establish David's throne over Israel and Judah from Dan to Beersheba. Abner boldly announced his plan, and it was a good plan. But if we read just a few verses later in the chapter, Joab takes him aside and kills him to avenge the blood of his brother Asahel. In the book of Esther, Haman gloried in the fact that he was the only one besides the king who was invited to the queen's banquet. His expectation was a royal treatment and a promotion. And then by nightfall, he was hanged on gallows that he had constructed for someone else. Esther chapter 5 through 7. And of course, we can't forget the rich fool. He made all these plans for his future life of ease and enjoyment. And then these words were said: this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Luke 12 and verse 20. None of these examples knew what that day would bring forth. And most of us can think of people in our own lives who died unexpectedly. To my knowledge, Wally had trusted Christ as his Savior to redeem and save him from his sins. But his story illustrates why Paul writes, God says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. So with each of these three points, I want to talk just for a few minutes about what this point should mean for us. First, obviously we need to make sure that we ourselves are right with God. If you have not acknowledged the guilt of your sin and repented from it and turned to Christ in faith, asking him to save you, now is the day of salvation. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus to pay the price for your sin. Ask Jesus to save you today. You really cannot count on tomorrow. The second application I would have is we need to share Christ with others. You may have a friend or a neighbor or a relative that you have been thinking for a long time that you need to give your testimony and share with them the truth of the gospel, but you haven't gotten around to it, or you haven't sensed just the right moment. You also need to be reminded that any day may bring forth death, theirs or yours. And so the words, now is the day of salvation, should apply to our witness as well. There's a third application, and I have actually a book here that I want to share a little story from. This is a book by James Dobson, A Focus on the Family. And it's a series of stories. The book is called Stories of the Heart and Home. And in the chapter on life lessons, there's a little story that is called Don't Let It End This Way. And it's a story of a man, probably in his 50s, who has a has a heart attack and is admitted to the hospital, and a story is actually told by his nurse. At one point, when he's being cared for, he looks at the nurse and asks, with tears in his eyes, he'd actually started to ask the question a couple times, but he finally asked, would you call my daughter? Tell her I've had a heart attack, a slight one. You see, I live alone, and she is the only family I have. The nurse took care of things, a couple things, assured him that she would that she would call his daughter. Just before she left the room, the man said, "Nurse, could you get me a piece of pen, a piece of paper and a pencil?" Which the nurse then gave him. The nurse went back to her station, called the daughter, and said these words, "Janie, this is Sue Kidd, a registered nurse at the hospital. I'm calling about your father. He was admitted tonight with a slight heart attack." And "No," she screamed into the phone, startling me. "He's not dying, is he?" "His condition is stable at the moment," the nurse said, trying hard to sound convincing. "You must not let him die," she said. Her voice was so utterly compelling that my hand trembled on the phone. The nurse assured her he is getting the very best care. "But you don't understand," she pleaded. "My daddy and I haven't spoken in almost a year. We had a terrible argument on my 21st birthday over my boyfriend. I ran out of the house and I haven't been back. All these months, I wanted to go to him for forgiveness. The last thing I said to him was, I hate you. I'm coming now. I'll be there in 30 minutes. The nurse was quite surprised by all this, went back to the room and found Mr. Williams laying unmoving without a pulse. She immediately started CPR, called in the doctors. They did everything they could to revive the man. The nurse throughout prayed, "Oh God, his daughter is coming. Don't let it end this way." After they'd worked on him as the best they could, the nurse went out of the room and saw another doctor talking to the young lady who had just arrived at the hospital. Janie went and introduced herself. The young lady said, "I never hated him, you know. I loved him," she said. Suddenly, she whirled toward me. "I want to see him." My first thought was, why put yourself through more pain? Seeing him will only make it worse. But I got up and wrapped my arm around her. We walked down to the room. We moved to the bed, huddled together, taking small steps in unison. Janie leaned over the bed and buried her face in the sheets. I tried not to look at her as she said this sad goodbye. I backed up against the bedside table. My hand fell upon a scrap of yellow paper. I picked it up. It read, "My dearest Janie, I forgive you. I pray you also will forgive me. I know that you love me. I love you too, Daddy." The note was shaking in my hands as I thrust it toward Janie. She read it once, then twice. Her tormented face grew radiant. Peace began to glisten in her eyes. She hugged the scrap of paper to her breast. A snowflake hit the window and melted away, gone forever. Life seemed as fragile as a snowflake on the window. But thank you, God, that relationships, sometimes fragile as snowflakes, can be mended together again. But there is not a moment to spare. Any day may bring forth death. Three things we should remember. Make sure our relationship with God is right. Testify to those God has laid upon your heart. And now this third one, restore relationships that have been broken. Restore relationships that have been broken. You don't know how much time you have. Any day may bring forth death. Any day may also bring forth a major life change. This is our second topic. Any day may bring forth a major life change. This is Edna's part of my story. In a single day, a wife unexpectedly became a widow. I'm not sure that there is a much greater change that can happen. Edna lived as a widow for nearly 20 years after Wally's death, and it was no doubt very difficult. The unexpected death of a person brings about change at many levels. Certainly, the impact is greatest to the spouse and children and other family members. But it can go beyond that. It can affect lots of people. I recently read a book called Lessons from an Imperfect World by Harry Grether. And he has a chapter that's called About Mortality. He says this: not long ago, a friend shared with me that she and her husband were nearly ready to retire, as were their good friends Mary and Al. The four of them had spent lots of time together and were looking forward to spending much more in their retirement years. Mary died last week, my friend said. She ruined all our plans. Now, my friend loved Mary as a sister and was not being disrespectful, but she also meant what she said. Any day may bring forth a major life change, and it can bring it to lots of people. But there can be other difficult changes, other things for which a day brings forth unexpected change, like an accident with injuries that may impact a person for a short time or for the rest of their life. A dictator decides to make war on your home country. A deadly pandemic sweeps across the world. We really don't know what a day will bring forth. The child who becomes pregnant out of wedlock or who runs away from home. Devastating relationship changes with a spouse or a sibling or a parent. People sometimes disappoint us significantly and impact our lives in difficult ways. There are other ways that may not be as major but are still significant. You've been saving up for something you really want, and suddenly your transmission goes out. You're a victim of identity theft. The guy you were interested in is now dating someone else. There are any number of significant events that can have a major negative impact on our health and our finances and our emotions. But we also need to remember that major changes sometimes are positive. You learn that you're going to be a parent or a grandparent, or you unexpectedly sign up a new client in your business. Your offer on the house is approved. A relationship is restored. There are lots of great blessings that come into our lives, and many of these are also unexpected. Whether the news is welcome or difficult, we can be certain that God is in control, even though we do not know what a day will bring forth. Again, I think of some of those major characters in the Bible. Think about these verses in light of those words: we do not know what a day may bring forth. And try to put yourself in the place of Noah. The God said, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Now that's a life changer. I'm not sure what Noah had planned for that day, but I'm sure that building an ark was not it. It is estimated that Noah worked on building this ark for between 20 and 40 years. And then there are all the animals that had to be accumulated and cared for. And then after the flood, a whole world in which Noah and his family were the only inhabitants. Noah gives testimony, you do not know what a day will bring forth. Here's another one. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Genesis 12, verse 1. And his family and the nation that emerged from his family was changed forever. God tells Abram that he will bless him. And the next words are, and Abram left. It makes you wonder if he even said goodbye. And I'm pretty sure when he woke up that morning, he had no plans for a move. Abraham also testifies, you do not know what a day will bring forth. Here's another one. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. This young virgin's plan for the next 9 months and the rest of her life were dramatically changed by those words from the angel. Mary also testifies, "You do not know what a day may bring forth." We could talk about that day in the life of Job, where it tells us that while one servant was finishing his bad report, the next one was standing in line to give his report. The bad news of the losses by the sword and the fire and the raiding parties and the mighty wind that caused the house to collapse. And now all his wealth was gone and all his children were killed. All that bad news, and it sounds like as we read the passage, it was delivered in a matter of a couple minutes. Job also did not know what a day would bring forth. And we could talk about that day that Joseph was sold by his brothers to the Midianites, and the day that God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush, or the day that God opened the Red Sea so that Israel could walk across on dry ground. How about the day that David went to the battlefield just to see what was going on and ended up killing Goliath? Or the day two fishermen were called to follow Jesus? Or that Sunday morning when the women found the empty tomb? None of these anticipated what that day would bring forth. Think about the man born blind, the 10 lepers, the paralytic, the centurion servant, the woman who had bled for 12 years, Jairus' daughter, the deaf mute, the man with the withered hand, and the demonized Mary Magdalene. On certain days, each of them had an encounter with Jesus, and their lives were changed forever. They did not know what that day would bring forth. And these examples only scratch the surface. It would be interesting if we had time to share with one another some unexpected days of our lives. When I thought about this for myself, I remember a time when I was in seminary back in the early 1980s, and I went to my seminary classes in the morning and came home, and at lunchtime I felt, boy, my stomach feels a little bit funny. I'm not sure what's going on there. And it was kind of a dull pain that persisted, and I didn't think a lot about it because it really wasn't an awful pain. A friend came by mid-afternoon. He was either dropping something off or picking something up, I'm not sure. But I told him about the pain I was experiencing. He said, "You should get that checked." And I was like, "No, I don't need to get that checked." About an hour later, I thought, maybe I should get this checked. So about 4 o'clock, I called the doctor, and he says, "Well, I can get you in at 5 o'clock if you can get down to my office." So I went there, and I waited for quite a while, and he brought me in and started poking and prodding, as they do. He brought in another doctor, and he also started poking and prodding. And after a few minutes of asking me questions, he said, "We're going to go across the street to Butterworth Hospital and take out your appendix." That was the day that I didn't know what was going to be brought forth. And sure enough, that night they took out my appendix. And in the process, as I woke up, he told me that it was a very dire situation. In fact, he said the appendix fell apart in his hands when he took it out. Well, apparently, some of that was still in my body because I got an infection as a result. Ended up 8 days in the hospital. Eventually, they had to open it back up and clean it out before I could go home. But again, in the morning, seminary classes. No expectations of any change to my plan for the day. By nightfall, I was in surgery. We don't know what a day will bring forth. And I'm sure you have all had your own interesting days. You could share about the day of your marriage proposal, or the loss of a classmate or a friend, the unexpected award. We truly don't know what a day will bring forth. And tomorrow could be a bigger surprise than any of them. It could be. What does this truth, what does this second truth mean for us? Well, first of all, we need to remember that God is in control, and we are not. And by the way, that is a good thing. We also need to remember that God loves us and is working out everything for our good and according to his plan. He's working out everything for our good and according to his plan. And in the context of this passage, it means there should be no boasting about the future. There should be no arrogant schemes. There should be no plans for the future that exclude the will of God from our lives. Psalm 10:4 says of the wicked, in all his thoughts, there is no room for God. When we consider our hopes and plans for the future, may those words never be said of us. There should always be God in our thoughts as we plan. Well, any day may bring forth death. Any day may bring forth a major life change. And thirdly, any day may bring forth ministry opportunity. Any day may bring forth ministry opportunity. This is part of my story from our One Another group's perspective. Do you believe in divine appointments? I believe God placed our group in that place at that time for a very specific purpose. I have considered that event and wondered how different it would have been for Edna if she had come home to that discovery and been all alone. We had ladies there who could comfort and console Edna at this difficult time. We had deacons who could contact the pastor and the funeral home. Some of us stayed with her well past when we intended in order to care for and assist her in her time of need. Our plan was to rake leaves to help them and then go enjoy pizza as a group. I don't think that is necessarily an arrogant scheme, but I also admit that in planning for that event, we probably never prayed and said, if this is your will, God, or unless you have something better for us to do, God, but maybe we should have. I don't know. But even if we don't say it, that should be our attitude. We have to be willing to abandon our own plans and on our own to-do lists when God presents us with an opportunity to serve him. It may be an unexpected opportunity to share our faith or to help someone with a project, to provide for a specific need, to comfort someone who is hurting, to search for a missing pet, or any other way that we might serve God and others that was not part of our plan for the day. This can be hard for us. It can be hard for us because sometimes we don't want to abandon our intentions. We know that our to-do list still needs to get done. It's also hard because we really have a desire in our sinful nature to be in charge. We want to do it our way. And sometimes we don't surrender ourselves totally to God. We need to daily commit to God to do whatever he has for us that day. This can help us focus our mission for each day. As I did with my first two points, I'd like to share just a couple biblical examples of this truth. There's a story in 1 Samuel 25 of an interaction between David and a man named Nabal. David had helped Nabal, but when David asked for some provisions for his men, Nabal refused. This resulted in a conflict between them, and David was prepared to harm him. One of the servants of Nabal reported this to Nabal's wife named Abigail. Listen to what she does. It says, Abigail lost no time. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. 1 Samuel 25:18. She brought these things to pacify David and to graciously tell him not to pay any attention to her foolish husband. And in doing so, she prevented David from committing violence against Nabal. At least temporarily, she saved her husband's life. If you know the rest of the story, her husband soon after that dies of heart failure, and Abigail actually becomes one of David's wives. But we don't know what Abigail had planned for that day. Providing food for a large band of hungry men and pacifying the future king was probably not her plan. Now a New Testament story. A man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and was robbed and beaten and left by the road half dead. We're then told that a priest and a Levite both saw the man, and when they did, they passed by on the other side. You might wonder, as I did, what did they have that was so important that day that they couldn't stop and help him? What was their to-do list like? They clearly did not do as I am suggesting and abandon their other plans to serve this man. But then it says the Samaritan came along, and it says that he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Luke 10:34-35. Again, we don't know where he was headed or what he was doing, but whatever it was, he set it aside and served God and this hurting man that day. We don't know what ministry opportunities a day may present us with, but we do need to be willing to abandon our plans to serve others if that is what God calls us to do. And I am sure that many of you could share lots of your own experiences in this regard. We have them, in a sense, most every day. But ministry opportunities don't always fit our schedules. I didn't mention it before, but I'm actually a preacher's kid. And I remember a few times when my dad was called away in the middle of the night to care for some need in the congregation. Indeed, we do not know what ministry opportunities a day may bring forth. Well, we did eventually get to our pizza, but it was much later than we had planned. But it did not matter because we knew that we had done something much more important than just raking leaves. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. I want to share three kind of summaries of what I think this proverb should mean for us. As I said, any day may bring forth death, so do not delay in repenting of your sins and turning to Christ in faith if you have not done so already. And do not delay in sharing Christ with that person you know needs to hear the good news. And do not delay in repairing that broken relationship. Secondly, any day may bring forth a major life change. When that major life change comes, remember that you can trust in God, that God is in control and is always working things for your good and according to his plan. And any day may bring forth a ministry opportunity. So be flexible. Each day, have a ministry mindset where your focus is not on your own agenda, but instead look for opportunities to serve God and others each day. And with that, we will close in prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, the truth of this verse is powerful on so many levels. Help us to apply it as you see fit throughout our lives. And thank you, God, for meeting with us here today. In Jesus' name, amen.